Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. First off, I hope everyone has had a nice weekend so far. It's Sunday afternoon, and this newsletter is the weekend commodity newsletter for January 27th. As you know, Steve and I generally combine both the commodities and general market newsletter into one long newsletter. This weekend, I decided to separate them, particularly because I want to look at the gold and precious metal area, which had really nice move last week. And so did our long gold and silver trade ideas. So I want to focus on that in particular. That's why I'm doing this separately. Also, normally I have the newsletters finished before now, but I've had some family issues this weekend. My daughter yesterday had 106 degree fever. So I've been dealing with that. Today she had 105 plus. So anyway, she's okay, but fever's still high. Hopefully I don't get what she has. If I do, I'm sure I'll be out for at least a few days. Anyway, let's get started with the newsletter. As you see, this newsletter is divided into four major sections. Again, fairly short. We're going to look at the general commodities here, the U.S. dollar and currencies. Then we're going to zoom to the precious metals. We're going to look at GDX, that's the gold miners ETF, and a bunch of individual precious metal stocks, gold and silver stocks. We put out some trade ideas early last week and the previous week, and they've done very well. And in fact, that area still looks like it could perhaps follow through. So that's what I want to go over. Those of you looking for some swing trade opportunities may still want to focus on this area. Again, the best place to buy was last week, but some of these you still maybe to pick them up and just, you know, have a wide swing stop, depending on your risk tolerance. That's up to you. This week we have the FOMC, so obviously that could move the markets, but you know, there's been some talk lately about the Fed really pulling in the reins here. I've seen some talk that the Fed may not even do any rate hikes this year. I mean, you know, that's all fairly bullish for precious metals, which were counting, you know, several hikes this year, and of course bearish for the dollar, which is generally bullish for gold. But anyway, without further ado, let's get started. Next, item number two shows the index sector table, what transpired last week and on Friday. Again, I'll be discussing the general market in that newsletter, which basically had a choppy week, that it was up nicely the last couple days last of the week, as you can see. But moving down to currencies, U.S. dollar, nice pullback for the week, down 0.5% and down 0.8% alone on Friday. That helped really boost precious metals. Again, some interesting reports came out on Friday morning before the market opened. There's some rumors, talk out there about the Fed, you know, really cutting back, maybe not doing any interest rate hikes, cutting back quantitative easing perhaps. Who knows? But, you know, market obviously is really driven by liquidity. As we know, we've seen this big V rally in the general market, all driven by liquidity. Anyway, big pullback in the dollar, as you can see. Euro was also up. Yen was pretty flat. Chinese yuan was up nicely. And commodities were generally down for the week, but obviously nice day on Friday. Crude oil up about 1%. Natural gas up 2.5%. Remember, I've been talking about natural gas. I said, monitor natural gas for potential bounce in this area. It had had a nice sell-off the last week or so, but we are having really cold weather approaching here in the Midwest, and that really tends to move natural gas. I actually took a little long position in natural gas, so we'll see if we can follow through to the upside this week. Copper up 3%, 3.2% on Friday. Slightly up for the week. Moving back to natural gas, again, you could see, even though it was up 2.5% on Friday, still down 11.8% for the week. Crude oil down as well. So again, commodities mostly were down for the week, except for Friday, which was generally an up, nice up day. As far as precious metals, they were up for the week. Gold up 1.5%. Silver up 2.6%. A lot of those gains came on Friday, as you can see. Again, precious metals were down early in the week, but came roaring back on Friday. GDX, that's the gold miners, gold stocks. We always watch, like to follow that because those stocks tend to lead. GDX up 3.3% on Friday and up 4.3% for the week. So they are leading, and that's a good thing. I'll talk about bonds in the general market newsletter. Next, item number three shows the economic news calendar. We got a lot of news here this week, guys. Full docket. First off, the FOMC on Wednesday. That is a big one. Of course, any of these reports are big, ADP, et cetera, PMI. And also, we have the big jobs report on Friday. Okay. Obviously, the big two are the FOMC and the jobs report. And beyond that, of course, we are in earnings season. And this week, we should see some of the big cap earnings, such as Apple and Amazon, toward the end of the week. So those are going to be big potential movers for the general market. All right, let's go and jump to the charts. So the first chart below, item number four, here's a chart of the CRB index. I don't often show this. It's supposed to be represent 17 different various commodities, and it does, but it's fairly heavily weighted to crude oil, so it does have a similar look to crude oil. Again, just like everything, it's had a really strong rally from the late December lows, the December 24th lows. That's where everything bottomed, including the general market. You can see the nice rally up. I drew a downtrend line here to monitor. Sort of has a little inverse head and shoulder look to it, though for a proper inverse head and shoulder pattern, you really want to see a little more consolidation first. But not a bad look. Next, let's go and move on to currencies. Chart number five, here's the US dollar, down about 0.55% for the week. We've had this rising wedge drawn in place for weeks since December, and it's obviously played out. Nice down week. Next, chart number six, here's a daily chart of the US dollar, the moving average configuration. Again, you see that little ascending triangle that I drew back in early December that broke to the downside. Moving averages went bearishly configured, the moving average ribbon that was in late December. And even though US dollar did bounce back a little bit from early January until early last week, you could see the moving averages basically pinched there for a bearish stacking. Next. Chart number seven, here's a daily chart of the UUP, that's the US dollar ETN. I really like this view. It's one we've actually been showing more than the index. Again, it moves very similar to the US dollar, obviously, but it's an ETN, ETF. Again, notice how UUP broke this uptrend line back in late December. UUP rallied up and back-tested that broken trend line and found perfect resistance there. So that's textbook action. So looks bearish, honestly, the dollar, unless it recovers right away and takes out Thursday's highs. This is definitely, if the dollar goes down, that would definitely be a benefit for precious metals. It could help other commodities, but it would definitely help the precious metals. Next, moving on to some general commodities here, some of the majors, chart number eight. Here's a weekly view of crude oil. Again, you can see it was down 0.65% for the week. Again, crude oil is finding logical resistance at that horizontal line that I talked about weeks ago that I said it would run into resistance. That was resistance back in late 2016, early 2017, and it became, you know, support in later 2017. It was lost last year on the big sell-off in crude oil. Crude oil, of course, put in a very nice bottom via that doji candlestick back in mid-December, which we pointed out as a long opportunity. You had a very nice long opportunity going long over that doji high for at least a three-week trade up into resistance. Beautifully played out. You can see the divergence on the 5 RSI and CCI. Whenever you have a setup like that, guys, a doji that's very extended below those moving averages and you have divergence on an RSI and CCI, you have a golden setup. Your long trigger is the high of the doji with a stop at that low. So you have defined entry and a defined risk. Again, crude oil rallied right off that long-term support around the 42 area that we pointed out, and it's now rallied up to resistance around the 55 area. So played out perfectly, as you can see. But it's struggling up in here at resistance. Next, chart number nine, here's a daily view of crude oil. Again, I just showed you the weekly above. You can see how the daily had MACD divergence. in late December. So everything was really set up with that daily MACD divergence, the weekly doji. So it's had a nice rally here, you know, just like the general market. Again, everything's rallied from late December, pretty much. It's pretty much broad-based rally in the market in these commodities such as crude oil. So anyway, crude oil, you can see this horizontal resistance up here at 54.50. Has an inverse head and shoulder look, but again, for a real true inverse head and shoulder, I'd like to see a better, more symmetrical right shoulder, maybe a little more pullback and then a break. We'll see what this does over time, but you know, it looks decent still, but at resistance. Next, chart 11 or 10, here's one of the tradable ETFs, USO, obviously the same look. Next, chart 11, here's a 60-minute view of USO. Again, back in late December, I mentioned that crude oil looked like a low-risk long because of the weekly doji, and I said one could either buy USO or one of the leveraged ETFs such as UCO. Okay, if you did, I've been highlighting how one could simply have trailed their stops up via the 60-minute time frame to each successive higher low. So this is a great education. Again, back in December, I mentioned one could have a stop around that 935 area, that first dotted line below that higher low. And if you simply stayed in, each time USO made a higher low, you raised your stop. You see that? The second arrow. Then you made another higher low there in early January. You raised it up again. You had a deeper pullback there, middle of January, 51 cent pullback. You raise your stop to there, then raise it again, raise it last week. So notice how you could have simply raised your stop on your existing long six consecutive times to each higher low. In my opinion, that's the best way to raise your stops, the most logical way. Some people I know try to use, you know, just a trend line or a moving average. But honestly, if you're willing to give it a little bit of room, higher lows are the best way, okay? So you'd still be long here. I will say that up in here, though, is an area where it could potentially reverse soon. So now you want to decide maybe to take some profits. The other thing here you want to keep an eye on is symmetry. You can see the largest pullback has been about 55 cents. So currently this pullback is 50 cents or so as well. That last pullback from 1137 to that 1088 area. Kind of hard to see that the 1088 is covered by the arrow, but you see what I mean. So a break in symmetry will set a downtrend, will end this immediate uptrend. But again, guys, this is the way I like to raise stops for swing trades. This will work on it any time frame, daily chart or a 60-minute chart, etc. Next, chart 12, here's natural gas. Again, natural gas has been very volatile, had that big rally in November, formed that coil pattern in early December, which instead broke to the downside, found support, rallied again, sold off, and light last week is starting to bounce. As I stated in the opening comments, I actually took a little long position in UGAS. That's one of the triple ETFs. There's some really, really cold weather approaching in the Midwest here, and natural gas likes to move on that, so I'm kind of betting a little bit that it's going to try to bounce off this support area. Again, it likes to move with the weather. I have a stop, though, right at the low there, so I have a defined risk. Next, chart 13, here's UGAS. That's the daily chart. That's the triple long ETN for natural gas. So again, I bought some last week on Friday. I talked about that in one of the newsletters. If you're not long, you could perhaps go long right over this little 50 area. Again, it's not much of a pattern. I realize that. I'm just kind of wondering if we get a little spike with the weather. Like you could have a stop here just under that uptrend line. Next, chart 14, here's a 60-minute view. I showed this late last week. You could have perhaps triggered on that on Friday. That's what I triggered long. Again, we'll see if I'm right, see if it bounces or not. Next, chart 15, copper. It's really been consolidating sideways the last 5 or so months. And in December, or in January there, it bounced off that 255 support area, so found a double bottom there. Honestly, it looks sort of like it's trying to base here now. And if the dollar starts to pull back, we might see a nice bottom in copper. Next chart 16, here's Joe, the coffee ETN. It's a weekly view. Again, coffee had that super rally from September all the way into late October off that weekly doji. Very nice trade. had a big sell-off, basically sold off all the way back to that area where it rallied from, and then now it's been bouncing from that area. I'm not going to discuss the other commodities tonight, so let's go ahead and move on. We're going to talk about precious metals. Let's first look at a few currencies. We already talked about the U.S. dollar, so chart number 17 here is the Chinese yuan, ETN, CYB. This, I also have gold here overlaid via the dotted gold line. The two tend to move together, and you can see how the Chinese yuan's been moving higher over the last few months, and so is gold. Next, chart number 18, here's another comparison chart of the Chinese yuan to gold. Again, you can see how they've been moving together, and they've been both moving up lately. Next, chart number 19, here's a comparison chart of the Chinese, or the Japanese yen, FXY, at the bottom, and gold at the top. The two have generally moved together. Lately, not as much. Right now, Japanese yen has been selling off, as you can see, while gold has been going up. So a little divergence there. But in my opinion, the Japanese yen doesn't look too bad here, kind of like a flag pattern. So if that starts to rally up, that would potentially help gold. Next, let's move to the precious metals charts themselves. Chart number 20, here's a weekly view of gold. You can see it was up 1.2% for the week. Again, gold put a bottom in August last fall, and it's had sort of a choppy uptrend since. Back then, I had identified this large rounded bowl type pattern, which has been holding as support. Again, gold could be argued has been forming this sort of basing bowl type pattern, you know, for the last five and a half years. Okay. It did hold support here. The main longer term resistance for the bulls, though, is up there at that upper trend line, which is still ways off. You can see it's all the way up there around 1370, all the way up to almost 1400. That's a big, big resistance area. Again, that's still ways away, guys. But something to monitor over time if gold does get to that area. If it can break out over that area, that would be super bullish. Gold could rally perhaps a couple hundred points, but that's a big, big area. And that's still a ways off. Next, chart 21, here's another weekly view. Again, it's still struggling a little bit near the 61 fib. It's a little bit over it, but just continue to monitor that. There is also some 5 RSI divergence at the top. Next, chart 22, here's a daily view of gold. Again, gold had that nice triangle pattern back in December. In November, it broke out in late November, early December, had a nice thrust to the upside. You can see the moving average configuration, moving average ribbon was really pinched together where you see my arrow. Whenever the moving average ribbons are pinched, that's when you get your bigger moves, guys. And gold had a nice rally all through December. Anyway, gold had a little pullback early last week, had a pennant pattern there, which broke to the downside, but it was only a small break. You can see the big, nice rally on Friday, especially induced by that news with about the Federal Reserve that they could pull back, you know, cut back some of their quantitative tightening, etc. Maybe not raise interest rates as much as they've talked about. So gold spiked on that. Again, I've been stating gold looked bullish. The moving average ribbon simply got too wide, and it was due for a pullback, and that's what it got, but nice rally on Friday. This is an important week with the FOMC. That could make or break gold. So that can soon gold a lot higher, depending on what they say, or it could send it back down. But for now, it looks bullish. Next, chart 23. Here's another daily view of gold. This one has the GDX-GLD ratio, which again, that ratio is moving down. That's one reason why gold broke that little pennant to the downside. But the ratio is coming back up here. Here I drew a downtrend line to monitor. So if that ratio continues higher, that would be bullish. Now, on a new high here, one thing to monitor is the MACD. There will be some MACD divergence there. Next, moving on to silver. Chart 24, here's the weekly view of silver. Nice bounce back last week. So far, the weekly has sort of a bull flag look to it. We'll see if that can play out or not. Obviously, the long-term chart held that big support area around the 1350 area. Next, Trevor 25, here's the monthly view of silver. This one really intrigues me. I've been monitoring this for a long time. Again, it's a monthly chart. It takes a long time for it to play out, but you have a nice long downtrend line from the 2016 highs. It's pretty well defined. If silver can break over that trend line confidently, silver could have a nice run well up into the 20s, maybe even the mid 20s, and that would be a very good percentage move. So that is something to monitor for you gold bugs. Okay. Obviously, when that CCI spiked well below negative 200, that was a pretty good bottom last fall. Next, Trevor 26, here's the daily view of silver. Again, silver hit that price target at 16 from that horizontal rectangle pattern. Pulled back the last couple weeks, but it had a bull flag look to it, which broke out on Friday. This is a true bull flag. I would expect it to go higher and take out that 16 high there. Next, Trevor 27, here's the another daily view with the moving average ribbon. Same look, obviously. Next, Trevor 28, here's palladium. Something I haven't really been talking, I haven't posted this for a while. I do follow palladium and platinum, but I just, you know, haven't really been looking at them lately. Palladium's really had a nice move up from the August lows. Really hell of a rally. Not sure what has caused that. I didn't look into it, but boy, it's been a hell of a rally. Still looks positive here. Flagging off the 20 MA. Next, let's move to the gold stocks. We'll first look at the ETF, GDX. That's the gold miners ETF. So you can see GDX put in that low last September, which we identified, and it's had sort of a choppy up move. One thing I am monitoring over time is the GDX GLD ratio, guys. You can see that trend line above. Ultimately, for the stocks to really have a monster rally, you want to break that longer term trend line. Okay, but so far it's been a nice uptrend. It has been a little choppy, especially on a daily chart, but it's still trending up. Again, the stocks do better whenever the stock, when the both the gold stocks and the metals do better when the stocks are leading. Such as back during early 2016, you could see that ratio was going straight up, and GDX did as well. Next, chart 30. Here's a daily view of GDX again. We identified that low back in September as a very low-risk low. You had divergence there and a falling wedge. You also had a doji candlestick there as your trigger. It's been a choppy uptrend, so it's been a trend where, you know, you sell the rallies, buy the dips, or just stay long with a really wide stop. You got a nice pullback the last couple weeks on GDX. It found support just over that 50-day moving average, and we had a big rally on Friday. Again, this week with the FOMC could be a make or break for GDX. But guys, if you're long some of these stocks, if you wanted to give them room, I think you could have a swing stop right at Wednesday's lows last week. I know that may be giving a little room for some of you, but that's where a swing stop could go. That's a higher low. Okay. So decide if that fits your risk profile or not. Next, chapter 31. Here's another daily view of GDX with the moving average config. You can see how moving average ribbon pinched last week. That actually set up a low risk long. Again, when those moving average ribbon pinches together, that's low risk trade opportunities. And of course, also whenever they really, really tightly pinch, like you see it did back in late November, early December, when they were all on top of each other. Next, Jarber 32, here's the GDX GLD ratio, the weekly chart. Again, I'm monitoring this potential wedge pattern. Okay. Back in 2016 and early 2016, we were super bullish on gold stocks. We were monitoring that falling wedge, and we said if that could be broken, gold stocks could have a multi-month rally, with many of them going up 300 to 500%. You can see my comments there on 12/16. I said, anyway, once that was broken, that was super bullish for gold stocks. They rallied for a good 7 months in 2016. Look at the ratio, it went straight up. Many of the individual stocks went up 300 to 500%. So that ratio has been downtrending in a choppy wedge-like fashion since mid-2016, as you can see. So longer term, it's still a trader's market, but if the ratio can eventually break out of this pattern to the upside, they may start a longer-term swing opportunity. That's why I stated in the opening comments, you know, you gold bugs out there, or those of you looking for some swing trades, keep an eye on this area. Next, Trevor 33, here's the BPGDM Rinko chart. You know, this is sort of like a system chart. This went on a buy signal back in late November via the Rinko, and it still remains on a buy signal. So it's kept you long the last 2 months, basically. Again, it's not perfect, but it's a pretty good damn guide, and it's done well here the last couple months, keeping you long. To get a sell signal, you need a MACD cross there or a Rinko sell. All right, let's look at some of these individual names. Trevor 34, AEM. We put this on the list early last week. Steve had it in his newsletters. I had it in mine. He showed a nice tight triangle coil pattern. It triggered long last week on Thursday. I said you could have a stop right at that 38.72 low. And bam, moved up on Friday. Look at the ratio. Broke that trend line. Volume's increasing. Looks good here, guys. You got another resistance around the 41.50 area. Again, if you're long here, if you want to give it room, I think you could have a stop at that higher low or maybe a little tighter. But, you know, you could also look to still enter this for a swing trade if you're willing to give it some room. Shorter term, you still may get a trade over that 41.50 area. Next, Trevor 35, Goro. This was also on the watch list last week. Lower price stock, but I talked about it last week. I said, guys, this looked lower risk. It was breaking out of a basing pattern. I said one could have a tight stop around that higher low around 420. I said you could go long it then and just put a stop there. I'm long some of this. You could see nice move on Friday. Look at that pickup in volume. This is one you could just probably ride a stop and let it go if you're willing to give it some room. Next. Trevor 36, WPM. We had this on the long list back in November, December. It had that nice big gap up on news. I know some of you were long and you got lucky with that. Anyway, it's had a nice bullish consolidation here, breaking a little trend line on Friday. Again, this is one, if it fits your risk profile, you could probably go long here, put a stop right at that 18.54 low. Next, Trevor 37, here's the weekly view. You can see the longer term resistance is still ways up there. Next, Trevor 38, FNV, another gold stock we had on the list last week. It broke out on Thursday. That was the trigger day over the trend line, followed through nicely on Friday. Again, just put a stop in place. Next, Trevor 39, AU. So this is one, if this market continues higher, this should take out that high. Next, Trevor 40, AUY. Nice break on Friday on expanding volume. Maybe one to monitor. Look for an intraday. If you see an opportunity, you may be able to take some shares and just put a stop in place. Next, Trevor 41, NGD. This is one I liked back there in December. I liked the basing pattern. Look at my comments about how the moving averages could come together. Again, it had been basing a long time. Everything was tight. It had a huge move up in to mid-January. It didn't pull back, but it found support at that 20 moving average and is pushing up here. That's a higher low. If one is long this, you could have a stop at that higher low. Now, I realize that may be giving it some room. Currently, the stock is $1.13, so a higher low at 95 cents. Is it about a 16% stop? But again, that's where a stop would go if for a true swing trade. So, you know, decide if you want to do that or not. But to me, this one still looks good. Maybe you can make it up to that 200-day moving average and higher over time. Next, Trevor 42, KL, another gold stock. This one's been super strong. Continues to make new highs here. I wouldn't chase it, guys, at this point. It's got some MACD divergence here. Again, I like the ones above more. Next, Trevor 43, TRX. This is a low-price stock. You know, it was in the 30-cent range, but huge, huge volume the last couple days. I didn't check, obviously, probably some news coming in, but you might want to keep an eye on this. If it consolidates on lighter volume, maybe a lower risk entry. All right, guys, that does it. So we'll see what the precious metals do this week. Again, you got to, if you're long this stuff or you buy some of it this week, you got to keep an eye on what the Fed says on Wednesday, because that could be make or break for this area. You know, because what the Fed does will affect liquidity, will affect the US dollar, inflation, etc., and gold moves on that. All right. Talk to you later. I will be recording a newsletter on the general market. Thanks.